Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers tailor-made by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this week's episode, the coach discusses whether he would like an 11 or 12 game schedule each season. He provides some phone etiquette information for us. And what kind of trash talk would the coach use on Rob? Let's find out on TaylorMade.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Team updates. Our guys are actually have progressed now to, how can I put this? It's not even voluntary because they're doing it on their own. So we can't do anything with our players until August 12th. But they got together last night and they're throwing 7-on-7. So it's really cool, man, to see, you know, when you start getting a lot more older guys in your program and they understand expectations, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to have them guys doing stuff on their own. So I'm excited about that.
Now, is this something that they completely organized on their own then? Is that how that worked out?
Yeah, and you know, it goes back to the days, Rob, when I played. You know, once you get out of spring practice, you kind of know your base plays, your base defense. So in the summer times, we would just get together, you know, twice a week, and we would throw 7-on-7 against each other. So our guys, I'll try to instill that. And it's nothing new to Hamlin's. I'm sure people all over the country are doing this, but it's good to see. It was kind of tough years ago where, you know, guys aren't around, but we got guys around, man, and they're anxious. I mean, obviously, you can know that they're chomping at the bit to get back and do things. So they were out throwing the ball around last night, so that's good.
Well, good for them. Awesome. Yeah. Well, let's jump into fan questions, and we start with a couple from Tom. The first is, are you able to see who other teams in the MIAC have signed at this point so you can assess how good they're going to be and how well their recruiting has gone?
Oh, good question. You can. And I have a young coach that kind of, he does that, but for me, man, I try to keep my main focus on our team, you know, because at the end of the day, it's about what we do, not what anybody else does in the MIAC. But I will have guys, you know, just to know where guys are coming from Minnesota, know where guys are coming from outside of the state of other teams. I mean, I like to kind of keep an eye on that, but I don't necessarily dive in that too much. I kind of let another coach do that, but I really try to keep the focus on our team, man. I just want to worry about us, man. So, but there are ways. Once, you know, kids deposit, then you can start announcing your class. And we started announcing our class on Twitter. And most of the teams in the MIAC have announced their class on Twitter, too. So you can kind of see. Every, you know, it's no secret. And we all know who's recruiting who, basically. So it's pretty cool.
Tom would like to know, he says, other than the Pipers, who do you think takes a big step up this season in the MIAC and becomes a major player for the conference title?
Wow. That's tough, man. I mean, that's one of the things we sell when we're recruiting kids. This league is very, very difficult. Like I said, besides that's making a big move.
You always got to look at St. John's. They're going to be solid. You always got to look at Bethel. They're going to be solid. And I mean, I tell you what, man, Gustavus, they had a good squad last year too. You know, so, and all these people, all these schools got quarterbacks, man. So it's going to be interesting to see. But again, like I said, we really just keep the focus on ourselves. So.
Adam would like to know, he says, Coach, one thing I noticed about the MIAC is that the best teams, St. John's, Bethel, St. Thomas, St. Olaf, do not rely on their quarterbacks to throw for 300 yards each week to win games. They have outstanding ground attacks as well. Do you feel like that is the key to winning in this conference, having that solid to exceptional ground game?
Well, again, that's another great question. I can tell you this, you know, being a little bit more defensive-minded, you know, running the football is critical, and the fact that I think it's Tom, you looked that up, you are 100% correct. You know, if you can run the football, you're going to control the game. So, you know, we made some changes as far as who's coaching the O-line this year. Our O-line is going to be buttoned up a lot tighter this year. And I tell our guys, man, when you throw the football, four things can happen and three of them are bad. So, you know, I'd much rather be running the football. So, no, that's a great evaluation and that's good that you pick that up and you see that because we need to run the football more, and we need to do it better. So,
we have a couple from Jaden. The first is, if I understand this correctly, at Division I and Division II, you can offer scholarships for football, but not at Division III. Does that make recruiting easier or more difficult, do you think, when you were selling the school totally on its academics and your staff?
No, it doesn't make it difficult. It weeds out a lot. You know, you definitely know you're not recruiting a kid that's looking at Minnesota or, for the most part, now, when you start getting really, you know, really good, like the MIAC schools are, you will start competing against some of the Division IIs. But then it comes down to what's important for the kids. You know, if you want to get a really great education, you know, you're going to come to a Hamlin University or some of the other schools in our league. So it really just depends on what the kid is really looking for. You know, if the kid wants a chance to play really good football, and continue to get a great education, the MIAC's a perfect fit, you know. So, because you're right, we don't give athletic scholarships, and I'd argue the kids that we get love football a little bit more because they aren't getting paid to play, you know. So, you know, I see a lot, you know, just being at this level for the last couple of years, man, we got kids that love being out there on Saturdays and love practicing, and they love being around our culture, so.
Jaden also says Division I plays a 12-game schedule. I think Division II plays an 11-game schedule. Would you like to see D3 expand to 11 games or more?
Yeah, that would be cool, man. The more, again, and this is just my own personal opinion, the more you can compete and you can be around your players. So that, if that meant we're around our players for one more week, that'd be awesome. I'd love to play another game, man. Anytime you get a chance to be around your guys and watch them compete on Saturdays, man, that's always, you know, that's why we do it. You know, that'll be the fun part. So the more we can play, the better.
Evan says, do you think it is a good idea to coach your own son in sports?
I think that can be a little tricky because, and it's funny, we had there was a kid that visited, virtually visited this week. Can't tell you his name because of NCAA rules, but, you know, it was funny because his dad's a coach, and I love coaches' kids, man. Like, you know, I've been fortunate to coach about 6 or 7 kids that dads were coaches, and I just flat out asked him, like, man, how is it, you know, being coached by your dad? And he said it can be tough at times, you know, because, you know, dads might not be able to shut things off when they come home. You know, he might still be talking about practice, and that can grind on you. But the thing about that is those kids, if they do go on to play college football, they're always light years ahead of the freshmen that come in. It just is because they live, sleep, and breathe football. So, you know, I think it can be tricky, but, you know, from a coaching standpoint, the dad's standpoint, you've got to know when to shut it off, man, and let the kid be a kid at home, I think. So,
Bruce would like to know, what do you think are common mistakes that football coaches make that turn kids off to the sport?
The thing I've probably seen the most, I think with football is such an aggressive sport, right? It's contact every time. So I think what I see, what possibly could turn somebody off is, you know, really coaching, you know, coaching angry. Like, you know, there's a way that you can teach and talk in a respectful manner and get your point across versus degrading kids just because a kid misses a tackle. You know, you're yelling at the kid and not what he messed up. So I think it's just, I don't know, man. And that's been my approach too. You know, when I'm hiring coaches, man, that's very important. How do we coach our kids? How would you want your sons to be coached or communicated to? That's super important for me, man. So I just think, at a young age, if you have a bad experience with a coach that's degrading or, you know, that kind of talks in a certain way, condescending, I mean, that can turn kids off, man. I can see that. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can coach kids hard and hold them accountable, but do it in a proper manner, I think.
Next up, we have a couple from our buddy Andre. He says, Coach, the Cow Pies brought in Mike McCarthy. Do you see him as a difference maker in Dallas?
Dre, always good to hear from you, my man. I mean, he won a Super Bowl, man, so you got to show the guy respect. He knows he's a Super Bowl winning coach, so you got to respect that. They have talent from the first guy to the 53rd guy, so, you know, they're going to be tough. So we got to respect him. We don't like him, Dre, but we got to respect him. So.
Andre, also would like to know, do you think the Eagles can rely on Wentz to stay healthy? That worries me the most.
Yeah, Dre, I'll worry about that, too. I think that's why they took Jalen Hurts. The kid from Alabama. Oh, excuse me, the kid from Oklahoma, not Alabama. Hopefully he can stay healthy. I'd love to see him get some seasons under his belt where he's just playing, man. And because he's so talented, and I mean everybody knows that. But we got to keep him healthy. So that part of that comes on Carson Wentz, and the part of it is, you know, the guys around him too, man. So
I agree. Derek asks, you were talking about how odd it was to see Joe Montana in a Chiefs uniform. How hard do you think it is for a new coach to coach a quarterback who has had so much success under a different head coach in a different system?
Wow. I think it would be tough, you know, just from a terminology standpoint, you know, how you did things at the other place that you were at from that standpoint. You know, it's just, it comes down to, and again, anything in life, like communication. Like, can you communicate your point across clearly, and how fast can you get that communicated? So, you know, I think Joe had a couple good years with the Chiefs. I'm not even sure. I should know. I'm not sure if he played 2 or 3 seasons. But, again, he was a Hall of Famer. So, you know, it would be interesting to see if they changed their terminology or did Joe come in and say, hey, we should do things like, I don't know how that works, man. I'd be interested to see that.
Jill would like to know if you're optimistic that there will be any kind of a Major League Baseball season this year.
Well, my good friend Rob just told me that, you know, they're going to start playing some minor league baseball here. So if minor league is going to get going, I'd like to think that baseball is going to try and do something, even if it's a, I thought I heard something about a 70 game season possibly. So I know they want to play. And I know the I'm almost positive the players want to play. So it's just going to be interesting to see how they do it in a safe manner.
Tyler says, here is a little phone etiquette question for you, Coach. If you call someone that you know and they don't answer, you know they can see it was you that called because of caller ID, so do you have to leave a message?
Do you have to leave a message? No, you don't have to. I think a lot of that comes down to who the call is, what the call's about, you know, what the relationship is. You know, like if I'm calling my mom or my dad, you know, I'll leave a message. But, you know, sometimes if I'm calling, just depending on how you communicate, too. If I'm calling a buddy from college, you know, I won't leave a message because they're just going to give me a shout back. You know, so it just kind of depends, I think. Now, if it's professionally, then, yeah, I'd definitely leave a message and make sure they know why I'm calling, who it is. So phone etiquette. It's funny you ask that question because we were having a, what is it called? I guess it's a Zoom meeting the other day, and I was trying to teach some of our players, you know, because they were on with some of our administrators, and I said, hey, man, you got to turn your camera on. You know, if you're having a Zoom meeting, I know this, we're talking about phone etiquette, but like when you're having these Zoom meetings and Google Hangouts, that's the whole purpose. That never makes sense to me when people join up in those meetings and they have their cameras off. That's the whole point. We can't be around each other, so people want to see how you react. So I just gave them some, I guess it's called Zoom etiquette last night. So it's funny I get a question about phone etiquette this morning. So
that's awesome. Michael says, I respect you driving slow, but please tell me you're not that guy driving slow in the left-hand lane.
Oh, no. I know. I knew something was probably going to come up about that one again. No, I don't drive fast. I do have driver etiquette, too. You know, left lane is for cars that are driving fast. I just want to be crystal clear. I mean, everybody likes speed, which I do, you know, but again, just, you know, I've never been a fan of speeding, man. I want to be within the law, man. So that's why I kind of keep everything, you know, if the speed limit is 70, I'll push it to about 75, and that's all you're getting from Coach Taylor, man. So.
Nothing wrong with that. Gerald says, Coach, here's the scenario. You are matched up with Rob one-on-one. You are the defensive back. What kind of trash talking would you use on Rob?
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, you know, when they break the huddle and he comes out, I would say, what are you doing out here, Coach? You might want to go get somebody else. And if they continue to keep bringing him out there, I'd say, well, hopefully your family's not here up in the stands watching this because this is not going to be good, you know. So just something from that fashion. I'd say I'd try to just get in his head, and you know, I'd always make sure the referee knows that I'm not talking to him, or Rob would know I'm talking to him. You know, there's a certain way to talk trash and do it in a respectful manner. But I definitely would ask, what are you doing out here? Like, you should go line up on the other side because you're not going to catch a ball on this side of the field. So you might want to tell your coach, put me on the other side. You know, so I'd probably start there.
Now I know not to bring my family out there, so that'll work for me. And Coach, why is it good to be a Piper?
It's excellent to be a Piper right now. We got, you know, our guys are just super excited to getting closer to, you know, opening back up and doing some normal football things again. Again, talked about it, continue to talk about our team GPA is the highest it's ever been, 3.2. And, you know, our guys are just, you know, they're bringing in the young freshmen, bringing them up under their wing. You know, our culture's not perfect because I don't think anybody has a perfect culture, but we're working on it and we're getting there. So we're super excited about our program right now.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, Rob. Take care. Thanks, man.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamlin coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.